If you have your Bibles and are ready to have some fun, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13 is where we're going to be going from, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to many of you. I'm going to raise this up. You raise me up so I can read it closer. Thank you. You got a lovely voice. Anyway. Rightio. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, Jesus teaches this. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for continuing to speak to us, for spending time with us, for communicating through your Son exactly what you desire. Thank you so much for your word. Please give your speaker the words to say and give us all ears to hear what the Spirit has to say through your word this morning. It's in the Lord's name we pray. Amen. All right, the following is not a rhetorical question. What is the greatest commandment? Very good. There was only one person who answered. What's up with that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Right? Now, we're in the middle of a series. This is a little bit of a break in that series for extenuating circumstances. But I'm going to expand on what Kim preached a couple of weeks ago regarding the importance of connecting, relating, knowing God, and reflect on the how. Because I don't know about you, but it's like, yes, I know that it's important to connect with God, but how do we speak, or how do we relate to someone who is unseen? How do we fragile beings begin to speak with the one who not only created me, but everything that I see? There seems to be a bit of a gap there. And I will freely admit that for much of my Christian life, I have really struggled with the concept of prayer, confessionally to you. And it's only been recently where the Lord has, you know, mercifully shown me some things. And as I have, well, started to do the things that Jesus said, imagine that some understanding and some maturity has truly clicked into place. So I'm just going to share that with you this morning, because it's impossible to come to a loving knowledge of our Father in heaven. It's impossible to come to a loving knowledge of anybody, really, without talking to them, right? Now, as we read God's word, as we listen to what our Father in heaven is saying to us, we hear that God's people are devoted to prayer. We hear the mysterious exchange between Abraham and the Lord regarding Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18. We hear God being moved to action, hearing the cries of his enslaved people in Egypt. We hear Moses conversing with the living God as a nation is birthed. we hear David, a man after God's own heart, say in Psalm 63, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." We hear our Father speaking to his people through his servants, the prophets. We hear about God's people, the church, being devoted to prayer. We hear about the church organizing herself in Acts 6 and really throughout the early part of Acts around the ministry of prayer and the word. We hear the church earnestly praying to God for Peter as he was in prison. We hear the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul's letters being saturated in prayer. And none of this is surprising. As we hear the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus' ministry is saturated in prayer. He prayed as he was baptized. He went out early in the morning to solitary places to pray. He prayed before choosing the 12. He prayed before Peter's confession of faith. He prayed during the transfiguration. He thanked his Father for the bread and the fishes before feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. He prayed before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He prayed before he was arrested. He prayed on the cross. He prayed in solitary places. He prayed with his disciples. Now, what's really neat about following Jesus is, and especially for the disciples, is that their teachers, Jesus' devotion to prayer could not be missed by the disciples. And so the frequency of his prayer, the actions of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, and the response of Jesus' Father to Jesus' prayers would provoke a natural question from the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. And he answers it. And he answers it. Now, I read Matthew. The Lord's Prayer appears twice. And once recorded in Luke, and once recorded in Matthew. But it starts out, "Our Father." And this is revolutionary. To approach God, the maker of heaven and earth, as Father. I know that if I go up to one of my four offspring, I can't really call them children anymore, they're young adults. But if I approach one of my children and I say, "Hey, do you mind if we talk for a minute?" And I take them aside. I mean, there's something powerful, right, about somebody coming to you, your boss, your teacher, whoever, and taking you to the side. And if they tell you, "Hey, can we talk in private?" Right? Automatically you know that there's a bit of a gravity there. Or at least this conversation is going to be taken seriously. This isn't just passing. We're sitting down together and we're just conversing together. And I know that when I sit down with my daughter and my sons, there's some things that I would like for them to share with me, and certainly there's things that I would like to share with them as hopefully a loving father. And as we approach him as a child of him, he is the center of your world, is he not? And as I take Jesus' words to heart, he says, "When you pray, go in secret." And I just take a Bible with me. And because I want to listen to what he has to say. And now, obviously, some of us have more aptitude with this than others, but I promise you, the Bible can be understood. The Bible can be understood. Most of the things that are in there are a matter of this, not this. But, if you never read through the Bible before, start with John, then work your way through the Old Testament. The Old Testament illuminates the Gospels, then go through the Gospels. And then Paul basically repeats what's in the Old Testament and in the Gospels, basically. And just listen to him. Listen to him and who he is. Take his word and read it as a way to listen to him, getting to know him through his Son, his Spirit, and his word. And this is the key, a key to powerfully praying to the God in whose image we are made, instead of futilely praying to a God that is made in our image. Do you follow? And I know that if I'm taking someone to the side and I'm praying privately, if I'm speaking privately with them and praying privately with them as well, but speaking privately with them, I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to feel like they can be honest with me. I want them to know that, hey, nobody else is listening in here. This is for nobody else's consumption. This is just between me and you. I'm going to let you know what I want to talk about, and I want you to provide feedback on that. And I want, by the way, if there's anything that you want to speak to me about, I want to know, right? And the same it is with our Father in heaven. But lest we think, let's not lose sight. Go ahead to the next part here. So our Father who is in heaven, let's not lose sight. Let's not get too casual. This is a tricky bit. Let's not get too casual. Hallowed be your name. Let us not lose sight of who we are speaking with, whose room we have entered into, the creator of heaven and earth, the supreme one, God Almighty, God Most High, Ancient of Days, the Lord our provider, the Lord our healer, the Lord our banner, the Lord our peace, the Lord our shepherd, the Lord our righteousness, the sovereign, the God who sees me, the great I am. That's whose throne room we're entering into. Yes, he longs for us to spend time with him. And I think I've probably taught this a little bit too far to one side, like, hey, he's really begging to spend time with you. But I'm kind of shifting toward the other direction of we need to understand that it's a mighty privilege that the maker of heaven and earth, the one who created all this, the one who puts all this in motion, wants to spend time with us. How dare we ignore that? We ignore that to our peril, frankly. Let's pause and consider the enormity of what is happening when we pray. The infinite is communicating with the finite. All glory and power is speaking with vapor and fragile cracked pottery, right? How can we possibly understand what he is telling us? Jesus made a way where there was no way. That is the significance of what we remember at communion, is we can freely come to him. We can freely relate to him. His sacrifice, satisfying the cries for justice caused not by him, but us, made us holy. Not only was the curtain torn in two, separating his holy presence from us when he cried, "It is finished," but when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he gave us his Holy Spirit, who not only inspired the Word of God, but lives in each one, transforming our hearts, advocating for us, reminding us of all truth, in order that we might understand and know our Father in heaven. And when you pray, give voice to that understanding. As you're reading through the Bible and you're getting to know him, give voice to that. Is he creator of heaven and earth? Is he almighty? Is he just? Is he kind? Is he good? Is he trustworthy? Give voice to that. Let him know. And as we learn who he is, then we know, we come to know, go ahead, what he wants. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dallas Willard taught, love it. God's intention for us is to grow us to the point where he can empower us to do what we want. Huh? Yeah. Because he wants us to want what he wants. Do you follow? And when we want what he wants, then we go. Then he can empower us. But until that time, we gain that power at our peril. As you reflect on who your Father is, as you learn more and more about him and how he contrasts with us, without him, and boy, oh boy, don't read through the Bible and expect a Disney story. Far from. Is it a good thing what he wants? Wrestle with that honestly. He knows your heart. Might as well be honest. Is he a good God? Is he a trustworthy God? Would it be a good thing if what he wants was done on earth just as it is in heaven? If what he wants was done in my home as it is in heaven, in my workplace as it is in heaven, in my school, in my neighborhood, in my family, in me. You see, I can't change anybody else. But I can decide if I want him to change me. If I want him to, that's a prayer that will be answered 100% of the time. And so, as we get to know what he wants, then we remember what he's done for us. Go ahead. Give us day by day, our daily bread. After you speak to him about his will, what he is doing for you, how you are blessed, what did he give you yesterday, right? Remember his blessings for you. Remember what he's done for you. Even the things that we take for granted, you know? Are you sure that it's by your strength that you have the roof over your head? Are you sure that it's by your strength that you have the food on your table? Are you sure that it's by your strength that you have the clothes on your back? You sure about that? Or maybe, just maybe, there's a Father in heaven who loves you very much and wants your needs taken care of. And of course, it says day by day. You know, this presupposes that you're coming to him on a daily basis. You follow that? Our Lord and Savior expects that we come to him on a daily basis. And you say, you don't understand my schedule. I've got a crying child. You don't get it. I mean, I can't, you know, you want me to go, you know what? Pray with the child on your hip. That's cool. I don't think God's offended by that in the least. In fact, I think he's pleased by it. You know, all he wants is time with you. All he wants is to share with you, to relate with you. And you give him that time daily. And what I have discovered with this daily prayer is, man, there's a growth. You know, you remember, because as we relate to him, it truly is, as Kim alluded to a couple of weeks ago, it really is for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. And that's the beauty of daily. It doesn't matter whether you're high, whether you're low, what's going on. You come to him in those times. And you talk about it with him. You talk about it when you rejoice, and he rejoices with you. You talk about it when you mourn, and he mourns with you. You talk about it whatever the circumstance, and he talks about it with you. And you remember all the blessings. Even when it appears you are at your darkest point, you remember what the Lord has done for you. And that way you don't slip into despair. Do you follow? Come to him daily. Remember daily. And then just go over the day with him. Yes, God is practical. Believe it or not. Go over your day with him. What do you want to see today? What would it be like if God's will was done in your life today? What would you like for him? From him today, right? And he loves that. He answers that. He responds to that. These times with your Father is quality and quantity. and forgive us our sins. As we read through the Bible, yes, Old and New Testament, you will discover a God who is shockingly, scandalously, almost foolishly merciful. As you continue in this private talk with your heavenly dad, you know that in his presence, thinking about how you have regarded him, regarded his family, regarded his word, you will know how shockingly, scandalously, almost foolishly merciful he has been with me and with you. With each one who called upon his name, who turned to him from wherever they were facing, laid down their crowns, and say from deep in our heart, I am so, so sorry. And you know what the best thing is? That will never, ever, ever return void. Although, here's probably the most scary bit of the prayer. Forgive us our sins. No, go back. And forgive us our sins, for there's a second bit to it. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Ooh. I don't know about that one. Do you think God knows what certain people have put me through? You know, there's nothing my children could do that could cause me not to love them anymore. Disappoint me? Yes. Anger me? Yes. Sadden me? Yes. No longer love them? No. If they became a danger to the rest of the family, for the protection of the rest of the family, they would have to stay away from their brothers and sisters, from the family. But in my love, I would try anything in my power to convince them to change their destructive ways. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the second they turned their back on their destructive ways, and the second I saw them walking down the road, walking toward their family again, I would welcome them back with open arms. If the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, what is the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see how the two are related? As we come to know who he is, what his will is, how everything we need he provides, how he regards us, and how he saves us and makes us clean, we know we are not the ones, the only ones who pray to him. The Holy Spirit earnestly works with us, gifting us, teaching us how to use those gifts as we work as his ambassadors in the ministry of reconciliation. Family is fascinating because as we live together all the time, we see each other, warts and all. Just as our Father knows us, warts and all, and still forgives us when we ignore him or tell him plainly he is wrong by the way we live, our Father is pleased when we use his grace as an example for how we are to regard one another as brothers and sisters and neighbors. And as we grow in our prayer walk, what does it mean? It means just as he looks upon us and longs for us to return to him, we should long that for each and every single other person, no matter what they have done, even if it's egregiously against us. Do you follow? Lots to unpack there. Don't have time. And lead us not into temptation. My dad wanted me to see me live life well. And now that my children are grown, I long for them to make their own decisions. And I love watching them making their own decisions, keeping in mind the lessons that he wanted to teach me as I grew. And the same it is with our Father. As we've come to know him. Yes, it's great to have forgiveness. Can I just say that it's even better when we don't make the mess to begin with? This stuff is serious. And you guys know this as well as I do. It's great that the forgiveness is there. It's awesome that the forgiveness is there. It is vital that the forgiveness is there. But so is the instruction. So is the teaching. So is the wisdom. So is the guidance. Where can we go from his spirit? Where can we flee from his presence? If we go up to the heavens, he is there. If we make our bed in the depths, he is there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn, if we settle on the far side of the sea, even there his hand will guide us. His hand will hold each of us fast. Well, I hope that gives you some guidance. Start with God. Always start in your prayers with him, meditating on him, who he is, what he has done, what he wants, and then how can I meet that? How can I allow him through his Son, through his Spirit, through his Word to mold me, shape me, to make me a person who had a heart of stone, who didn't give a lick to having a heart of flesh? Your Father in heaven loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He is worthy of your praise because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. His works are wonderful. Do you know that full well? Your Father in heaven loves you more than you can possibly fathom. Your Father wants to talk to you. Please, as your brother, I ask you, please talk to your Father. Let's pray. Actually, go ahead to the last slide. Will you stand with me? And let's read the Lord's Prayer together in this time as we close it out. I got the version that hopefully you won't trip over. It's tough when there's different versions, hey. All right. Our Father in heaven. Amen.